Well, Christmas is coming. It's about here. I remember when I was a child, it came about every 5 years. And now it comes every few months. It seems. It's amazing how things change with age. The days and the years begin to pass much faster. But as we approach Christmas Day, December 25th, which will be Thursday, I believe, according to my calendar. There are a lot of different plans. Things being planned and different things being carried out. At Christmas parties and Christmas parades. We were involved in a Christmas tournament, a basketball tournament. Yesterday up at Paxton, and actually last couple of days they were in that tournament. A lot of Christmas shopping going on. Many people spending money they don't have to spend. You know, just slide that credit card. Don't worry about what it costs. We'll worry about that later, and many people getting themselves in real trouble. Spending money that they don't have to spend. There's a lot of exchanging of gifts and on and on and on the list goes. But I wonder how much time we actually spend thinking about and truly worshiping the one who Christmas is really about. You can't even spell Christmas without involving Christ. Oh, they try. They use an X now, and some of them, instead of the spelling Christ. But as I mentioned the other day, you know, when you take Christ out of Christmas, you know what you got left. It's spelled M-A-S. It's a mess. Okay? When you take Christ out of Christmas. So, how can we go through all the different appointments and celebrations of Christmas without at least thinking about Christ? This morning I want to spend just a few minutes trying to bring your focus back to the true meaning of Christmas. The truth of Christmas. What's Christmas really about anyway? I did an extensive search of the Bible. And you know, I couldn't find Santa or Santa Claus, either one, anywhere in this Bible. Nowhere. From Genesis to Revelation. But sometimes it seems like he gets more exposure. Well, I don't know that it seems like it. It's just a fact that he gets more exposure than Jesus does. When we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. And what you want to teach your kids concerning Santa Claus is totally up to you. But please don't leave Jesus out. Make sure that your children know that, and your grandchildren know that Jesus is really the real reason that we celebrate Christmas. I also did a little research on Jesus and Jesus Christ in the Bible. And it's listed a bunch of times. Bunch of times. I didn't count them because it would have taken a while to count all the times that Jesus and Jesus Christ are mentioned in the Bible. I found prophecy all the way back in the Old Testament about Jesus' birth, where it was prophesied that he would be born and what he would be for us and to us. So this morning I want to look into God's Word and see what he says about the one whose birth we celebrate on Christmas Day and the one we ought to celebrate every day of the year, every day of our life. His name is Jesus. There are a couple of accounts that I want to look at, well, two or three, and then a lot of other verses that I've made reference to this morning. There, in Matthew's Gospel, we find the account there of the birth of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, beginning verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There we find the instructions on what he was to be called, who he was, and what some of the things that he was going to do. Over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, a very familiar Christmas story, we call it, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, even everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the house, the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Jesus' birth, the first Christmas morning, Who is He? What is He? What is He to us? First of all, He is Jesus. That's what Joseph was instructed, that His name would be called Jesus. He is Son of God. He is, in fact, the Son of God. Joseph is not His father. Joseph was engaged to Mary, His mother, but Joseph and Mary had no sexual relationship before Jesus was born. Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Mary was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And so, He is the Son of God, not Joseph's son. He's the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus is that only begotten Son of God who came to be our Savior. When Satan was tempting Jesus, as recorded in Matthew chapter 4, in the first 11 verses, Satan kept saying, "If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." He was Son of God. Satan knew that He was the Son of God as he was tempting Him. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." We must believe and know that Jesus is the Son of God. Again in 1 John 5:5, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" We must believe and know that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe this morning that Jesus is in fact the Son of God? He's not only the Son of God, He's Son of Man. He was also the Son of Man. Mary was His mother. Mary was 100% flesh, human. She was the mother. And so through Mary, He is the Son of Man. Not through Joseph, but through Mary, He is the Son of Man. He was born in the flesh. When I talk to people often about the hobo. Of course, since I am the hobo, I get a lot of questions. And I get a lot of opportunities to witness through that venue of being the hobo. How is that? Well, by definition, Jesus was the first hobo. A lot of people think hobos are tramps and bums, but that's not true. You know, the first hobos were migrant workers. They were our military guys came home from the war, and they tied their clothes to their hoe, and they set out for work. If you look at the hobo code, it's always about looking out for the other fellow. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head." So, and like the hobo code says, He was always looking out for others, taking care of the needs of other people. Okay? Now this message is not about hobo. It's about Jesus Christ. But we need to pattern our lives after Jesus Christ and remember that He is, in fact, a Son of Man. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 through 8, Jesus healed a man that was sick of the palsy. In the second verse, He said, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And some of the scribes accused Him of blasphemy. So He said, then beginning again in verse 4, Wherefore, think ye evil in your hearts. For whether it's easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Jesus was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is also the Son of Man. And there are many other scriptures that refer to him as the Son of Man, as well as the Son of God. He's also our Savior. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11 said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now there's nothing we need more than we need a Savior. We need a Savior. Every person that's ever been born needs a Savior. Since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve failed, they sinned, sin entered into the world, and every person that's been born since that time has been born with a sin nature. We've been born in sin. We need a Savior because we can't pay for our own sin. But Jesus came to pay for our sin. That was one of the things that he came for. He came to set an example for you and me, to show us how to live here on earth. He lived here on this earth for some 33 years. Set an example for us to follow. Wherever he went, he was doing good. Wherever he went, he was helping people. He was serving people. He was a very humble man. He was born in very humble surroundings. I would venture to say probably more humble surroundings than any person here. Jesus was born in those surroundings. I don't know of anybody else here. I don't know where you all were born, but I kind of doubt that any of you were born in the barn. You know, we've been accused of that sometimes. You know, you go in and you leave the door open. You're born in a barn, you know. But Jesus was. He was born in the barn, in the stable, because there was no room for him in the inn. And so he was born in the most humble surroundings, and he lived that humble life. He was very humble, had loads of humility for hurting people. And we need to copy that. We need to have compassion. We need to have humility for people who are hurting, who are in need. Jesus was that person. He came to be our Savior, to save us. And we all need to be saved. We can't save ourselves, but he certainly has done all that needs to be done for us to receive salvation. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. Well, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way. You can't be good enough. You can't be rich enough to buy it. You can't work hard enough to earn it. The only way you can be saved is through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way. He is our Savior. He is our only hope. He's our only hope here in this world. And he's our only hope for eternity. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I've come so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. That's here and now. He also came to give us eternal life, to spend eternity with him in heaven. What great news that is. that so many people are ignoring. So many people are rejecting. So many people have chosen to do it their own way. I preached a funeral several years ago. And one of the songs that the family wanted played was, "I Did It My Way." If there's anything I don't want said at my funeral, it is, "He did it his way." No, because my way is no good. It's his way. Jesus' way is the way. He is the way. He's the truth and he's the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Who is that? That's every one of us. Because we're all lost. We're doomed for an eternity in hell outside a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. He's the only way we can escape spending eternity in hell, eternally suffering in hell. And then again in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Who is our Savior? Jesus is our Savior, the one whose birth we're about to celebrate on Christmas Day. Is there anything more important to celebrate than to celebrate the birth of the one who came to be our Savior, to save us from our sins, to forgive us, to wipe all our sins clean, to cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, and to see a forgetfulness never to be remembered again? He's the only way. He's our Savior. He's also Emmanuel. In Matthew chapter 1, in verse 33, it says, verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." He is our ever-present companion, to never leave us nor forsake us. He is God with us. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's there. He's there to be our companion. He's there to be our protector. He's there to be our provider. He's there all the time. He knows exactly what we're doing. He knows why we're doing what we're doing. He's there to help us in our times of need, our times of difficulty. We get in times when we don't know which way we're going to turn. But if we are believers, if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then we should know which way to turn is to turn to Jesus, because he's there with you and he will help you to get through your difficult times. Well, why don't he just move all those things so we don't have to get in those difficult times? Because he don't want a bunch of spiritual wimps, weaklings. How strong would you be if you never faced a trial or a temptation? You know, look at our athletes. How good would they be if they never exercised until they hurt and beyond? Tell me it don't start doing any good until you start feeling the pain. And that's when you start reaping the benefits of the exercise. We need the spiritual exercise as well. God don't remove every trial and temptation from us. Many of them we have to go through. But guess what? He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's right there with you when you go through your deepest, darkest hours, your most painful times, the times when you really just cannot understand why you're facing this trial. Just know He's with you. He's Emmanuel, God with you. He's there. He's there to help you. And guess what? You may not know why you're going through that trial, but He does. He does. You're being prepared for something down the road. And you're going to need that experience that you're going through right now to help you to get through something later on down the road. Be thankful that Jesus is your Emmanuel, God with you. He is, as we look back over in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 9, we have a list of attributes there. In chapter 9 and verse number 6, this is prophecy. This was way before He was born. And it was prophesied. In chapter 9 and verse 6 in Isaiah's gospel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Would you look at those things? Wonderful. Wonderful. Is anything possibly more wonderful than Jesus Christ? The one who came to be our Savior? The one who is the Son of Man and the Son of God? Our Savior? Our Emmanuel? Could anything be more wonderful? The greatest gift ever given. His name is Jesus. If we think for a moment about where we would be without Him, lost, headed for a devil's hell, with no escape, no possibility of escaping hell. That's where we'd be if it were not for Jesus. I am so thankful that I, as unworthy as I am, because I do not deserve any of His blessings, I do not deserve to be forgiven of all the sin that I've committed. But oh, how thankful I am that I have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And I celebrate His birth on Christmas Day and every other day. Because He has saved me. He has forgiven me. He's given me life abundant here and now. He's given me eternal life. And I will spend eternity with Him in a place called heaven when this life is passed on this earth. I cannot be thankful enough about how wonderful that news is. It is wonderful news. He is a wonderful Savior. He's a Counselor. He's one that we can go to. No matter what our problem is, we can always go to Him. He don't have to study up some book. He's got all the answers. He knows exactly how to counsel you through your difficult times. He's a counselor. And by the way, a lot of his counseling is right here. You can find a lot of his counseling when you get in those situations if you'll just get his word and start looking and searching. You'll find how to deal with that situation. How to get through that. You can also talk to him. You know, he likes for us to talk to him. He not only likes for us to call on him when we need some counsel, he kind of likes for us to call on him when we just want to thank him. You know? Lord, I just thank you. You allow me to be a part of a beautiful day. You bless me with good health. Even when I'm going through a little sickness, I realize it could be so much worse. God, thank you that you have protected me. Thank you for all the provisions of life that you've given me. Thank you just for being my Savior and for being my Emmanuel, being with me. He's our counselor, our mighty God. What a mighty God He is. There's a song we sing. What a mighty God we serve. We serve a mighty God. He's the creator of all things. He is the one who provides for our forgiveness, for our salvation, for our protection, for everything that we need. He is mighty. He is a mighty God. He's the only true and living God. All there are people that serve all kinds of gods. You know, some of them's got them sitting up on the mantle. You know, can't do anything for them. But that's who they worship. You know. But I'm glad we serve a God who's a mighty God. I'm glad that we serve a Savior who is genuine, everlasting. He's the everlasting Father, and He's the Prince of Peace, finally. I can tell you, there's no real peace outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can try anything you want. You can try riches. You can try fame, fortune, all those things. There's no peace there. Oh, sometimes there's a little temporary, but it passes quickly. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He can give you peace that's unspeakable, everlasting. A peace that passes all understanding according to God's Word. That's the peace that you can have. So what is the truth of Christmas? It's a time we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Son of God, Son of Man, Emmanuel, our Counselor, our Mighty God, our Prince of Peace, our all. Without Him, we're all absolutely nothing. But through Christ, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But without Him, you're in trouble. If you've never had that personal relationship, if you've never come to the place of realizing Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He's the Son of Man. He came to be my Savior, to forgive me of all my sin, and to give me eternal life. If you've never come to the place of accepting that, then today is the day of salvation. There'll never be a better time to trust Jesus than today. Because tomorrow may never come. You do not know. It's a simple thing. God, I know You love me. And I know I'm a sinner. And I know what the Bible says about sin. The payment or the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. I don't want to experience that. And I know that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to be my Savior. He was willing to go to that cross, give His life to pay for my sins. But He's not in the grave. He's alive, victorious, because He came out of the grave 3 days later, victorious over death, seated at Your right hand to make intercession for me. I accept that. I ask You to forgive me of my sins and give me life, eternal life. You know what? He'll do that. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. So if you'll call on Him today, repenting of your sins, He'll save you, He'll forgive you, and He'll give you life. If you don't have something really to celebrate Christmas, then He can give you that if you'll trust Him to be your Savior. Father, love Him. Thank You today. Thank You for Your love. Thank You, Lord, for the gift, the greatest gift that was ever given, a Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to show us how to live, and then gave His life so that we could live. Thank You for that. Father, I pray for that person that's here today who has never trusted Jesus to be Savior. Allow Him to become Lord of their life. I pray that today would be the day that they repent of their sins, trust Jesus, accept Him, and become a new person in Christ Jesus. There are others who have other needs, Lord. Someone who needs to recommit their life. Lord, they've not been living the life that they know they should be living. They've strayed away. They need to recommit their life and come back to that right relationship with You. Whatever the needs are, God, I know that You're here with us and that You're here to meet needs. We thank You for that. We thank You in Christ's name and for His sake. We pray. Amen. Stand with me while the music plays. If you're here today, you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior. And right now, if you died standing where you are, you know that you would go into an eternity separated from Him in a place called hell. You can change that today. Because He is standing with outstretched arms, inviting you to come and receive His forgiveness, receive life. If you're here and you've accepted Him, but you've allowed Satan to distract you and discourage you, and you're not where you need to be in your relationship with Him, it'd be a good day to recommit your life to Him. Maybe you're here and God's called you to come be a part of this church, to join this church, to identify here and begin to work here. Whatever the need, God has spoken to you. You need to move. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't hold on. If God's called you to do something, then do it. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to pray for you. You don't need to confess anything to me. But I'll share Scripture with you. I'll help you any way I can. I can't make the choice for you. much as I'd love to. Anyone, quickly, we're about to close.